Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up?
Come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearing center host, Matt Sroka. As always, I'm joined by the button lover, Josh Sroka. Josh, have you done any rituals, traditions? What kind of superstitions are you into to keep the Orioles streak alive?
You know, I don't know. I've watched every game. I went to the movies tonight, so I was a little nervous that I was going to see it was going to fall apart with me not being able there to catch the beginning of the game. I will say, has there ever been in our history of Section 336, has there ever been a time period where between episodes the Orioles did not lose a game?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this
besides,
is
like off season.
Yeah, they said this is the first. Well, no, I don't know. When was the last time we won nine games in a row? When was the last time? I don't even know.
I think it was like 2005 or something.
I
think
really?
The 10-game mark
I thought it was
1999. Okay, I thought that's 1999 was that the 9-game mark or the 10-game mark? Either way, it's pre-336 time.
Yeah.
And
this is the latest in the season. Like, if we win tonight, we'd be over 500, and we have been over 500 this late in the season since 2017. I mean, this is kind of remarkable stuff we're talking about here.
Well, and it's enough to make me start to believe. Mm. As orange color as my glasses are, there's enough going on that it's starting me to think, maybe.
And we're going to break it down. We're going to break it down tonight's show because we got to ask the question, like, what does a 10-game streak mean for the Orioles? And there's so many questions that branch off of that, right? What does it mean for decision with the trade deadline? What does it mean for specific players like Trey Mancini? What does it mean for manager Hyde? What does it mean for attendance? Like, what does it mean? Like, this is a big deal, but what does it mean for the Orioles?
And that's what I was explaining to Kelly today because, you know, we got a lot going on in personal life. You move into Macon and stuff.
So yeah, this is the first time recording from Macon. Macon, Georgia.
Right, so that's why we're recording on a Wednesday. And Kelly was saying, well, why don't you guys just wait until, because we're going to be together this weekend.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, we'll be together. She said, well, why don't you just take the week off and then you can do it then. And I was trying to explain to her, like, what's going on with the Orioles now is so special. Like, we kind of have to get together and talk about this.
Yeah. And we didn't talk Monday. I was like, oh, shoot, we're going to miss our chance because now the streak's going to be over. But they just kept on winning. So we could have done tomorrow, exactly. And they still would have kept on winning. It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're already calling it seventh inning, and you're calling it.
Well, I'm not calling anything, Josh. These games have been late and close. I mean, if you look at some of these games, one run a game. It is not like we're blowing teams out here. It's been some close games, some clutch hitting. There's been some in this streak. There's been some freaking amazing games.
You think about the game a couple.
Last Friday, just some amazing games.
And don't forget, this streak started on the tail end of Lopez blowing two saves in a row.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. And
people are ready to and you had people tweeting
All-star
like Lopez needs a break from being a closer, putting Felix Bautista as closer. Yeah, some crazy stuff happening.
But and how did Brendan Hyde handle that by giving Lopez one day off and then pitching him like 4 days in a row or something? And like bringing him into key situations all the time. Like
one of the things I want to get into is talking about manager Hyde, because he's been given a lot of credit for this turnaround. And I think a lot of it well deserved if you look at how he's using the bullpen, how he's managing his lineup. I just think he's done a tremendous job.
How he's turned this team into a team and a family. And like you can feel it, how it's the entire team is why they got these 9 game winning streaks, maybe 10. It's not like I put out on Twitter earlier today, like what amazes me the most when I look at this is it's not being carried by the pitching staff. It's not being carried by the long ball. It's every part. It's doubles. This team is a double machine these past 10 days. It's double plays. They've been getting the double plays all season. It's pitching it's working, both starting and bullpen. Everyone in this team is stepping up and contributing to these wins.
Yeah. There's so much to unpack here in this win streak. I heard them saying in the Kevin Brown mentioned it in today's game that over the last 24 games, the Orioles starters have an ERA of 2.55, which is number one in all of baseball over that time period,
right?
Which is insane. A, that you would associate the Orioles with the best starting pitching staff in all of baseball. It's even more insane that we're doing it with Voth and Watkins and Lyles and Kramer. Like I talked about how I thought you, if you had Rodriguez and Means and Bradish, okay, that's going to be a decent rotation. Yeah, and Hall.
We both said Rodriguez and Hall would be here by now.
None of those guys here. I mean, Spencer Watkins, who's pitching tonight or pitched tonight, is a textbook case of a guy who's been a mediocre pitcher his entire career. All of a sudden, he comes back from injury. You know, prior to his 10-game win streak, comes back from injury, and he's pitching like he thinks he's Garrett Cole or something, right? He's just total domination out there. And you have other guys pitching really well.
Dean Kramer?
Like, yeah, Dean
Kramer. We wrote off Kramer.
A terrible year last year, right? And then terrible in the minors for a while. Like, not a good track record of success.
Yes.
Our whole rotation has either very little track record to no track record of success as a starting pitcher. Like, none of them.
So
name one pitcher who has a good track record of success in the majors. There's not one. The best one is Jordan Lyles. He should be our ace, which is insane. I mean, by the way, he has been pitching really well. But all these bum pitchers are pitching like the best pitchers in baseball, which is just blows my mind.
Right. Yeah, it's been so much fun. And what's fun is I don't think we saw it until about Monday, Tuesday this week, where the national media started paying attention.
Yeah.
I feel like last week it was our little like birdland. We all see what's going on, but we don't know if this is for real, but we're going to enjoy it in a moment. To Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, national media is starting to pay attention. People are starting to talk about the Orioles and as this is a fluke. None of these stories have been, well, look at who the Orioles have been playing. It's been, look at what the Orioles are doing, and they're still in the AL East.
Yeah. It's like you had that 4th of July kind of weekend, and then it continued, right, which were some incredible games. That Friday game was incredible. The Monday, July 4th game was incredible. And then they kept on winning the entire week. And then after Friday, you have the weekend, and the Orioles won on Saturday and Sunday, just this past Saturday and Sunday, July 9th, July 10th.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, July 11th, everyone comes out with their podcast on Monday again. And, all the everyone's at work again on Monday. And then all everyone could ever talk about, I mean, it was a lead story in all baseball podcasts, but the Orioles just keep on freaking winning because they won all weekend. Yeah.
And you saw it last week in Baltimore. You saw the progress build up as people got excited, started believing. You saw it all come together for those Friday, Saturday night crowds at Camden Yards that looked like some awesome crowds, like crowds from that we haven't seen in 5-6 years at Camden. that it was giveaways, but still it was also the excitement that this team is someone to believe in and something special.
Yeah, I've just been super impressed, even earlier in the season, going to games with small crowds, how kind of passionate the crowds have been this year. Like, even prior to this, people understand what's happening. This is a team that was turning. People get it. This is not year one of the rebuild. This is the end of the rebuild. And so you felt already. But, yeah, it was great to have great crowds. And even in Chicago, I mean, playing the Cubs, Cubs always bring out great crowds. A lot of Oriole fans. A lot of Oriole fans in Chicago, which is super impressive. And just it's fun to play in front of big crowds or into the game. And we've seen that this past week. So it's been great.
Right. We know that excites the players. We know that changes the way they handle the game. Obviously, you're going to have Oriole fans go to Chicago because it's Wrigley Field. Yep. The Orioles rarely play in Wrigley Field. So you knew you were going to have that no matter what.
Have you been there, Josh? I've been there. Have you been to Wrigley Field?
It's on the list. Wrigley and Boston are at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Haven't made it there yet.
Hey, but you mentioned before about this kind of getting contribution. It feels like a real team effort.
Yeah.
And you're, I was thinking about this the other day, too. Like, recently, the past couple of days, Urias, yesterday was fantastic. Ramon Urias has been great the past couple of days. Austin Hayes, who was great earlier, kind of slunk back. And so guys like Urias.
Mateo stepped up yesterday.
Mateo's been walking more, had a couple hits yesterday. Now today, Austin Hayes has a couple hits. You're right. It's not like they're riding the back of Cedric Mullins or they're riding the back of Trey Mancini. Mountcastle struggles. Other guys seem to step up. It's like every night you don't know, is it going to be Rutschman tonight? Is it going to be Mateo? You don't know who's going to be that guy. But it seems like consistently there's a different guy every night who's stepping up with a great game, which is pretty cool.
Odor, who has been frustrating for half a season, suddenly he's like the clutch master. If it's a clutch situation, Odor's the guy you want at the plate.
Oh, yeah. 8th inning, 9th inning, 13th inning game tied, you want Odor at the plate because he's going to launch a ball. Yeah, so that's – he might slack sometimes on defense, but like, he's been super clutch too. Yeah, and it seems like Hyde has found this kind of consistent lineup, which has Urias and Odor in there, and yeah, it's been incredible to see how a different guy kind of steps up each night.
So what does all this mean? I feel like I'm the idiot Oriole homer who gets on board and says, "Oh yeah, look, see, it's proven." And I know as Oriole fans, we want to stick at the guys like, what's his name on Twitter that everyone's trashing?
Bastroni. I stuck it to him and I had a tweet at him. Just for the record, I don't have anything against Bastroni. I just knew if I tweeted about Bastroni, it would give me a bunch of likes and retweets. That's the only reason I did it.
Anyway, you like Adam Jones tweeting the picture wearing the with him photoshopped on an Oriole chain?
Yeah, with the home run chain.
On the Buster.
Yeah.
I like seeing Adam get in on that. But part of it is, as Oriole fans, it's fun to now say, "Hey, Buster, all that talk about us being the embarrassment for baseball, us being what's wrong with baseball, we are the hottest team in baseball at the lowest payroll in baseball. Maybe you need to rethink some things. Maybe we need to start talking about how maybe the Yankees having this huge payroll is embarrassing for baseball. Maybe some of these high payrolls, like Yankees are a bad example because they're winning, but maybe some of these high payrolls for losing teams is a bad example for baseball. Maybe there's some excitement here." But I can really, what I can't figure out is, all right, I'm all on. We're halfway through the season. We're at 500. If the Orioles win tonight, we are over 500.
Right.
Trade deadline is late.
Right.
This year. But either way, All-Star break is after this weekend. What does this mean for this team? Like, we are, what, two games out of the wild card hunt? We have a chance in this team. This team has a chance. The Blue Jays are struggling. The Rays are struggling. Fangraphs,
we have like a 2% chance of making the playoffs.
And we started the season with a 0% chance. And now we have a 2%.
We had zero for the past 4 years. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We lost over 100 games for 3 years straight.
Yeah.
Now, what does this mean? Do we sell? I've been on here for since the beginning of the season saying we have to trade Trey Mancini. Now, do we trade Trey Mancini? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what this team does. I'm really curious to see this weekend against the Rays. I've been saying from the beginning of this, that's where I'll believe. If you get two wins against the Rays, if you play the Rays hard, I'll buy into this. Where are you at, Matt, right now? Do the Orioles trade? Are we suddenly buyers? There's lots of articles saying the Orioles need to be buyers.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was saying, and you know this from day one, like, don't trade Mancini. Right. And now everyone else is coming to my side, like usual. I'm ahead of the curve on this stuff. But my reason for trading Trey Mancini is not the same, or not trading Trey Mancini is not the same reason for other people not trading Trey Mancini. I know there's an article by Rich Rowley. I know a lot of people have written about this. This idea that and I think, by the way, when you're talking about those that questions about
him,
yeah, we owe him, or we owe the fans. But I think this whole discussion, Josh, I think Trey Mancini is the perfect example, because here's a guy in the last year of his deal, right? So you could keep him, which shows you're still trying to win. Also, a huge part of that locker room, right? Like, trading away Trey Mancini is not just like hurts your team. It sends a symbol. It's like it sends a signal to the other players that, okay, we're not trying to win this year, right? When you trade away one of your best offensive players. And he's on the last year of a deal. So, like, do you want him just kind of for this year? But my argument is, and now all of a sudden, like, maybe I want to switch sides and be on the Trey Mancini side, maybe just to be a contrarian. But I don't think, like, I think we need to stay focused here. I think as Oriole fans, and Mike Elias, Mike, if you're listening to this, like, this is our call to stay focused. What is the point, right? If the high point of the Michael Elias rebuild is this one time, right, in 2022 where we played 500 baseball in July, if that's the high point, then this rebuild is a complete failure, right? Like, this is not the Michael Elias doesn't owe us a competitive baseball team, right? That's what people think. Like, all the Orioles need to do is become competitive, because the Oriole fans deserve a team that's pretty good and competitive. That's nonsense. I don't want to be competitive. I don't care, Josh. Honestly, in the whole scheme of things, it's really cool that we could be above 500. I just don't care that much. I don't care. The goal of a baseball team is not to get above 500. The goal is to win a World Series.
Right.
And so for the Trey Mancini question goes back to this. You know, what will increase my chance? I mean, Michael Elias talks all the time about playoff probability, right? And increasing your probability to make the playoffs each and every year. So I'm going back to that question. I don't care about 500. Yeah. I don't care about competitive. What's going to get me to the World Series? What's going to increase my chance to playoffs and World Series as much as possible?
And that's what makes this question so tricky, is as we record being two games out of the wild card, two games out of playoff baseball. That's what makes it tricky, is because, you know, any team, once you get in those playoffs, you can get hot. It's not like football, or where you can sneak past in one game, but you can still get hot and ride the hot. We always talk about riding the hot hands. Who's the hot hands for the Orioles? It doesn't matter to whoever you put up there. You can always get hot and get through this.
Go ahead.
We talked all through all season. We talked about June up to the All-Star break. Watch these birds get hot.
Yep.
We talked about it because of Grayson Rodriguez, D.L. Hall, Adley Rutschman coming up. But at the same time, when we talked about getting hot, we said, don't let it change your trajectory. Don't let the path change. Stay focused.
People who think Mike Elias, the guy who held back Grayson Rodriguez, is going to be influenced by a 10-game win streak to change his whole rebuild strategy, has not gotten to know Mike Elias at all. Like, Mike Elias is going to freaking stick to the plan, come hell or high water.
So here's what I want to know about the plan. All right, so let's say we go out. Let's say we have a neat opportunity where we can truly be buyers without trading stuff up, because we have so much payroll room. We have space where we could trade a bag of balls for a pitcher that another team just wants to dump a pitcher for half a season, or for the final part of the season, and save $1 or $2 million. We have the payroll that the Orioles can afford to do that. So that's an interesting option where the Orioles could go and be buyers without giving anything up but money. Most teams don't have that opportunity. The low payroll gives us that opportunity. But set that aside for a minute. What if you were buyers, what would you bring into this team? What would you go out there and want to bring on this team to make this team better?
Yeah, it's a great question, Josh. And the immediate thing is, like, you look at our lineup, you say, oh, you know, Odor's batting 200. Mateo's batting 200. Yep. Let's upgrade the infield. Of course, the response to that is, though, are there better in-house options than out-of-house options, right?
And that's my whole point, is you want to bring in a starting pitcher. We've got a guy in Norfolk that could be that guy.
You're talking about Matt
Harvey. You don't give up anything.
Sure, yeah.
Two weeks ago, I thought I was talking about Matt Harvey. Right now, clearly, I'm talking about DL Hall. You talk about the left side of the infield. Well, I have this guy, Jordan Westberg, and Gunnar Henderson, who are killing it in Norfolk, who could push their way up here. We have these in-house options where we don't need to trade, and we can make things better. The question is, how do you make things better without disrupting this family that is winning ball games now?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I mean, I don't think DL Hall or Gunnar Henderson or Jordan Westberg is going to upset any chemistry you have, right? Because there are guys who have been in the Orioles system. But they're watching the Orioles. Like, they know what's happening. It's not like bringing an outsider in.
No. And I think maybe you do little trades to make room for these guys, because you don't want to send Odor down. You don't want to send Mateo down. You don't want to send guys that made impacts down to bring in a rookie. But I think there's opportunities where maybe you can trade these guys, not get much in return, but what you're really doing is opening the door for one of these other guys to come up and be a part of this.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting to see, specifically what happens with Odor, if they feel like he's blocking some of these young players from, you know, and what they do with Odor is going to be interesting. But I'll go back to the Trey Mancini argument.
And
my reason the entire time for not trading Trey Mancini is not because I think Mike Elias owes the Oriole fan base something. No. Trey Mancini is such a top-notch guy. And by the way, I think it'd be interesting, right? Give Trey Mancini some truth serum, right? Josh, what do you think? If we gave Trey Mancini truth serum, and I don't think Mike Elias cares about this, but I care about this, what Trey Mancini wants. If you gave him truth serum, would he like to be traded to the Braves, the Mets, the Dodgers, to a kind of a World Series contending team? Or do you think now that the Orioles are finally turning it around, and he's been a part of all these losing seasons, right? Like, Trey Mancini is the constant of the rebuild. He's been a part of the rebuild as much as anybody.
Right. Trey's rookie year was 2017.
Yeah. You can measure the rebuild with his career. Yes, you can measure the rebuild of his career. So what do you think Trey would prefer? Do you think he'd prefer to ride this thing out with the Orioles, or a chance to a better chance to win a ring with another team?
I think that has changed this year. I think the beginning of the season, when he said, I'll be the free agent at the end of the year and stuff, he was serious about that, because all he saw was losing in Baltimore. He saw a wall get moved that was going to hurt his offensive production. He saw empty stadiums. I think now, I think in the past 10 days, with Camden Yards getting some good crowds, with this team winning baseball, he's having fun again. And he's remembering what it was like his rookie year in Baltimore, where I think now he's like, hey, I want to stay and be a part of this. Something special is going on here. Now,
Josh, we still have
like a whole month until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Things could get ugly fast.
Yeah.
And then, you might want to be in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, we're just like 2 weeks of the trade deadline, so you're getting a lot closer than that.
No, isn't it like August 3rd or something?
Oh, I thought it was. I mean, it's usually like July 31st, but maybe it's
not. That's what I was saying. I'm looking it up. It's been pushed back late this year. Right.
But to your point, it's interesting you mentioned that Trey Mancini's having fun again. For me, and maybe I'm wrong on this, this is just kind of appearance, what I'm watching every game, what I'm seeing from Trey. Trey appears to me, and it's not just about the wall, Trey appears to me angry. I have to compare, like, it's fun to look at. Just watch the facial expressions of Ryan Mountcastle and Trey Mancini. And Ryan Mountcastle is always smiling like he's just a kid on the ballpark. It's a kid on the ball field having fun. And Trey Mancini is like, I mean, he feels to me like a man on a mission, right? Like he's done, oh, it's just fun to be here. And he's like, like he's all business. Like I'm here to freaking win. Like if I hit a double, I'm mad it wasn't a home run. If I hit a home run, fine, I was supposed to. Let me run over the bases and do it again next time. And I love that. I love that he's kind of this veteran. I've been for all the losing seasons. Like I'm a man on the mission. And my whole argument with keeping Trey Mancini and not trading him the whole time has been like, cause he's good. I think he is our second, maybe our first best offensive option. If not, he's top three best offensive weapon on an offensive team. That's not great. That's just good. Like we have an average middle of the American League offense and Trey Mancini is a huge part of that. And I'm sorry. Kyle Stowers is a downgrade. Anyone else you put in that DH first base role is a downgrade. And so for me, again, my whole argument the whole time has been like, not only do you not trade Trey Mancini, I would look to do a 3-year extension with Trey Mancini because I think over the next 3 years, he's going to put up similar, look at the offensive stats, similar to Ryan Mountcastle. He's right there. Whatever stat you want to look at, he's a little better on base percentage than Ryan Mountcastle, a little less with the power. But if you look at the static OPS plus, like almost identical OPS, very similar to Ryan Mountcastle, just gets on base a little more, but hits with a little bit less power. But yeah, as far as offensive weapons, like I think you need, like forget leadership, forget, you know, all that stuff, which I think Trey Mancini does bring. Outside of that, I think he's just a good offensive player on a team that's not great offensively. And if you trade him, I think there's a hole in this offense. We saw the hole that Adley Rutschman filled, I feel like, with the offense taking away, you know, providing a good offensive player at catcher. You didn't have that before. I think you're going to have something missing if you take away Trey Mancini from this lineup. And I don't want to hear about, well, you're blocking somebody. Like the worst thing that we should have, or like I heard someone say, you need to Trey Mancini so it frees up Adley Rutschman to play DH more, which I get, like you want his bat in lineup, but who cares if Trey Mancini or Ryan Mountcastle has a day off once every other week? It's not the worst thing in the world to have depth and to give guys days off. Why do we hate depth so much? Like, we should want depth. We should not want it. I remember there's been games where, like, we rest Ryan Mountcastle or Trey Mancini, and people are like, this is a B lineup. How will everyone this lineup? What you want to have is a lineup where you can rest Trey and still have a good lineup, rest Mountcastle and still have a good lineup. And so, yeah, I just think the whole idea of trading Trey Mancini, my problem with it is, like, I just think we're worse off. Now, if you know for certain that Trey is not interested in re-signing in Baltimore, and if you know he's going to walk away after this year, and you get a good package of prospects back, what? You got to do what you got to do, right? But for me,
and especially when we're saying still be on re-signing, you can't let this. Right, and that's where you really got to have that talk with Trey and say, do you want to be here next year?
What do you want?
Or do you want an opportunity to move on?
Yeah,
right. Because if you want to. I think that this, it kind of goes back to like Adam Jones's thing where he didn't want to be traded and they're like that, but I guess he didn't want to be traded. But they knew they weren't going to use him the next year. This is weird where it's like, you can't plan on winning the World Series this year. As fun as this is, you can't plan on this being the World Series team. You need to still plan on the future and your plan of 2023. 2024 being the big impact years. And that means it's not whether you want Trey to be a part of this year's team. It's if you want Trey to be a part of next year's team.
Yeah. And here's the cold hard truth is when I look at Fangraphs 2% playoff odds, I get excited like that. I know it's stupid, but that excites me because it's been nothing for so long. And now we actually have a chance to make the playoffs. I do like question why the Angels have a better playoff chance than we do, but whatever. I get division, all that stuff. But well, I think
that makes a lot of, I understand that. It's because of the division.
Yeah, division. But Josh, when Mike Elias sees 2%, I think he starts making calls to trade Trey Mancini, right? Like 2% for Mike Elias. Mike Elias is trying to increase the probability of the Orioles to make the playoffs every single year. 2% playoff odds, that's not what Mike Elias is going for. That's not Mike Elias' goal. Mike Elias' goal is to have us at as high a percentage chance to make the playoffs every year. And 2%, doesn't get Mike Elias signed. Now, if we keep continue to play well, and it's all of a sudden August 1st, and you can tell me when the trade deadline is, Josh. I thought it was July 31st, but if you push back.
It's August 2nd. Okay. August 2nd is the trade deadline.
If we're sitting here July 30th, and all of a sudden that 2% goes up to, you know, 10% or 15%, I think that's going to influence Mike Elias. But right now, 2% for Mike Elias, I mean, just play the odds, right? Like, do you want to roll the 2% chance when you have a chance to get more prospects? I don't think Mike Elias is going to be swayed by wanting to appease the fans. And I don't think Mike Elias is going to be swayed to kind of go away from his plan because of a 2% playoff odd. Maybe I would, but I don't think Mike Elias will be. Josh, we're talking about how this might impact
right because
future decisions. Do you think it influences? We heard Mike Elias talk about go way back in 2019, how like if the Orioles have a chance to playoffs, they might call up Adley Rutschman all the way back then. Do you think us now being kind of the 2% influences what he does with DL Hall, Henderson, and Westberg?
I don't. Maybe slightly. I think the plan was always to bring these guys up late this year. I think the difference is you might see them in August instead of September. I was looking up some playoff odds. So the Orioles are at 2% now. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays have 47 wins, where we have 44. So they're what, 3 games above us. Yeah, they have respectively an 84% and a 60% chance of winning. So it'll be interesting to see if the Orioles can move up. How far do Fangraphs and all ever give the Orioles as a percentage? What would it take for the Orioles to get a 10% chance of making the playoffs?
Yeah. I don't think Fangraphs believes in the Orioles. They're looking at a rotation of Watkins, Wells, Kramer, Voth, right. Lyles, just like we are, and saying, "Who's this team still winning?" There's no way this rotation can line up with the other rotations in the American League East. I think that's what they're looking at, and yeah, I think Mike Elias is looking at that too. But again, like as an Orioles fan, you could say, "I think Kramer's legit. I think Watkins is legit. I think Wells is legit." Right. And if it's true, if they're legit, if they can continue to pitch like they have, then maybe those percentages are wrong. Because those percentages, Josh, are looking at past performance over many years. And like I said before, all these pitchers are having career years. So do we throw out those past performances and these are new pitchers? And that changes the percentages.
Yeah. Or do you – it's crazy. Or do you take that opportunity and say trade them while they're hot and get some team to believe in what they're doing right now despite the history?
Yeah. And listen, if Mike Elias wants to go that way, he could have a haul. He could have a haul with trading some of these guys. He could say, let's go. And now I don't think it's going to go that extreme. Josh, what is this new win streak? Does it change at all your thoughts on the future of Manager Hyde?
Yeah, I think Manager Hyde is here for the next couple of years. I think Manager Hyde, I know it's been said that he was hired being told, hey, it's going to suck. You're going to lose, but we're not going to abandon you when we get better. I think this winning in this season unexpectedly has given a lot of hype to Manager Hyde to the point that he's here next year. This isn't a, hey, John Madden's available. Let's bring John Madden in to take the boys over the hump. I think we've
seen Madden.
Yeah. Joe Madden. John Madden's not going to get you over the hump this year. He'll have a little problem, but Joe Madden isn't either. I think it's proven that you don't want to disrupt this, that Brandon Hyde has shown enough to say, hey, what happens if we give you some good baseball players instead of this crap that we've been giving you for 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, no, Josh, and this team is kind of crap too, right? We talked about it in the offseason. Yeah,
no. I mean, like, bring anybody next in. Year, we give you good players. This year, you're still crap.
Yeah, he's doing it with crap. He's doing this with crap, which is all that more remarkable and deserves a ton of credit, because when every kind of, you know, projection has you at 100 losses and now you're playing 500 ball, like, you deserve credit for that. And we talked about it before. The chemistry on this team seems to be the best chemistry that we've had, maybe going back to those, you know, Tommy Hunter playoff teams.
This is, you know, yeah, Tommy this Hunter is the, playoff teams. This is the chemistry that we had. Yeah. No, this is the chemistry that we had in the good Buck years.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other, can I just say also just a little shout out to Hyde, the way he lets Jordan Lyles throw deep and deep deep into games makes me so happy. Jordan Lyles is not an ace. Jordan Lyles is not Garrett Cole, but he'll let Jordan Lyles throw into the sixth and the seventh inning of every game. He doesn't, it doesn't matter if he gave up two runs, three runs, four runs. Like, he'll let him throw until his arm is about to fall off. And I think with managers so quick to pull guys after, you know, four runs and five innings, I love that he lets Jordan Lyles just go out there and throw till his arm falls off. Like, that, just letting Jordan Lyles throw deep into games has given me a whole new respect for Hyde. And I hope he does it. Like, I love a good starting pitcher to go deep in the game. I hope he does it more and more with these other starters.
Yeah. I used to have a button over here from Buck Showalter saying, I like our guys.
Right.
And that's what I think of as Brandon Hyde. Like, he likes these guys. It's the Bad News Bears of Baltimore. These guys are not supposed to be doing this. And every night they're going out. I think I said earlier, I would every night expect this to fall apart. Baseball fans watch every night expecting this to fall apart, for this to end, this to just be a fluke. And every night the Orioles are proving them wrong.
Yep. Josh, is there, what does this mean in your eyes for attendance? I'm already feeling the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. I'm already stressing about missing out on this win streak. Like, I want to be in Baltimore when they come back, continuing this win streak at that game. Do you think, is this too immediate? Does this have any immediate impact on attendance? Or does that take a little bit longer to get the Orioles fan base going?
No, I think we already saw it. I think the attendance was definitely hyped up over the weekend with some giveaways, but I think you definitely saw floppy hat and the Hawaiian shirt. But I think you definitely also just saw the change in the attitude of Baltimore, even as early as the 4th of July game. As the Orioles came back and became this fun team, you saw the excitement. And I think you'll totally see that as the game continues, as they come back. Especially, I keep saying, they're gonna get out of Chicago tonight with a win.
You're calling it now? 6-1 in the eighth inning, you're calling it?
It's 6-1 in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and two outs, as I'm calling this. All right. And as I say that, it's now 7-1.
Okay.
But, I'm calling it. All right. The Orioles have just won 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
We have Thursday off. It's weird to have two off days in 1 week, but whatever. Yeah. We have Thursday off. We then have Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Tampa. I already asked Kelly earlier this week, hey, can I go to Tampa Friday night? I know we leave for the Outer Banks on Saturday, but I think I need to go to Tampa on Friday night because of FOMO. This is special that's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. And trust me, when this podcast is over, and the Orioles win again, and the Orioles' next game is Friday in Tampa, I will be asking Kelly again, hey, can I go to the Oriole game in Tampa on Friday night?
Yeah.
I know it completely messes up our schedule.
Before driving 11 hours in the other direction the next day, yeah.
But this is something really, really special going on right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Tampa next month. The Orioles are back in about a month. Mid-August, they're in Tampa. I'm going for that whole weekend series. I got those scheduled a while ago because I wanted to see Adley and Grayson and stuff. Yeah. Sure, Grayson won't be there, but I'll get to see Adley. But there's something special going on now. So there is a huge FOMO going on.
Yep. Yeah.
Because this is so special. And not something I expected until the next year or two.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't even want to mention my thoughts on Grayson right now, Grayson Rodriguez. Because your imagination is able to get away with you.
We cannot play the what if game.
No.
What if Adley started the season? What if Grayson was on this team?
No. I'm saying, Josh, Grayson's injury. They're saying it could be he could be back by September. What if we're still kind of in this thing in September?
But not in my mind. You're saying just bring him straight to the majors?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he'll do his little rehab starts. He'll do his rehab starts.
You're right. You're right.
But being here by the end of September into October, like that's enough to get me. Wait, oh, I don't want to go there.
Hold on. I got to go on over to my bookie. Yeah. You've convinced me.
I don't want to go there. But if like if somehow we get into a wild card playoff scenario, I mean, he's back. He's back for playoffs.
You're saying it's October and we have Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall in this rotation.
And Grayson Rodriguez making his debut for a playoff game or something. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. But I'm just saying
there's something special going
originally
on.
Originally you're supposed to return in September. Just saying that.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. And we said, I think our conversation was, but you wouldn't really waste him in September. You would just save him for next year. Well, right now it doesn't look like it's gonna be a waste.
Yeah, this is a different conversation.
It's fun.
And it does. These two wins in Chicago feel a little bit like statement wins, right? Like you were at home. Okay, the Angels are struggling. Everyone makes fun of the Angels for having Trout and Ohtani can't win. And you're at home and you played really well at home. You struggled more on the road. You have this great success. You go on the road to Chicago. And you beat them pretty good for two games. I mean, this is a pretty good whooping we're putting on tonight. This feels kind of like a statement series. Well, yeah. Another sweep. It feels kind of like a statement, like the Orioles are legit. It feels like a statement.
I mean, it's three sweeps in a row.
Yeah.
And some really frustrating Minnesota losses right before then, which I
think one-run losses. Into that. Yeah, one-run losses. Yeah.
One-run losses, like blown saves. Like blown chances saves. To win. Those are two blown saves. Like it really goes into that what if territory.
If we would not blown those two saves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Then we're talking about like 13. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Joey Crable's pitching right now. That's what I have you to say about this team.
And he's been great.
It's a bunch of no names. It's, as you said earlier, doing this with crap.
Yeah,
and that's what the team's doing.
Yeah, yeah, with no additions, no real talent. So this goes back. Let's just wrap up this conversation, Josh, where we started it. If you're Mike Elias, are you buying or selling or staying pat the trade deadline right now? So let's pretend it's August 2nd right now. The trade deadline's now. The Orioles are sitting where they're sitting at 500, a couple games out of the wild card. Are you buying, selling, or just staying put?
I'm buying right now, but I'm not spending much. I'm not giving anything up. I'm not giving anything up. I'm going back to that conversation of I'm spending money. I'm trading a bag of balls and I'm taking on contracts for pitching.
I think the good example was, and I heard this on the Buster Olney podcast, sorry to mention his name, but what the Braves did last year with Eddie Rosario for Pablo Sandoval just kind of dumped the contract. Yeah.
Yeah, they cut Sandoval the next day.
Right, right. They just didn't want to pay Sandoval. Yeah, I buy that. So if it's me, I'm not trading Trey Mancini. I don't care. I'm not trading him. It's not about something I owe to the fans. It's about he's good. And I want him on my team.
Only way I'm trading Trey is if I sit down and talk to him and he says, yeah, I don't want to be here next year no matter what.
Yeah.
Then it's like, all right. I need to go on the business side of the Baltimore and say,
sure. But then it would still take a good deal to do it.
Yeah, and it's going to be okay. Well, you know that means I'm going to have to trade you if I get a good offer.
Yeah, and so. I think it's going to be really interesting, Josh, to see what offers a guy like Trey Mancini gets, because just from what I'm listening to, and I don't follow the rest of the league that closely, but I listen to podcasts and stuff. And it seems like there's Benintendi, there's maybe Josh Bell with the Nationals. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of hitters, really good veteran hitters available for trades. And so I wonder if the lack of availability will drive up Mancini's price and someone might overpay. Like, I'm curious to see what even a Santander or what a Mancini, what their offer is. And I'm kind of with you, like, I think if I'm the Orioles, if I'm Mike Elias, I would trust to get better just by staying within my system. So I'm not sure if I'd be buyers, but I would like be quick to promote. Like I would promote DL Hall for this next start. I want to see DL Hall start his next start in Baltimore, or on the road, wherever they are at the point. I want to see Henderson in July, and or maybe not Henderson, but Westbrook maybe in July, and Henderson maybe the next month if Henderson continues to play well. Like I'm ready to make those promotions quick, as kind of and instead of trading for a second baseman, let me promote Westbrook to be my second baseman. So I'm making those moves, and then I'm kind of standing now. Maybe trade Santander. Like you could make an argument, you could convince me to trade Santander since you have Kyle Stowers to slide in there. But still, it's not like Santander is the final year of his contract. He still has arbitration years. So even Santander, I'd be a little reluctant to trade because I think it's a bit of a downgrade with Stowers. I also think maybe you can better get a better deal from the offseason. So, yeah, right. If I'm the Orioles, I'm listening to offers to be sellers. I'm listening to the offers, but I'm probably going to stay pretty close to Pat. Yeah. If you want to trade a bullpen arm, I feel like you can make that up. So if you want to be judicious, like trade a bullpen arm, but also get a pitcher or type of deal that you're talking about, like a contract dump, I think you can get kind of creative where you can kind of be buyers and sellers. I think the Orioles are in a very kind of unique and flexible position with this.
Yeah, and remember, the schedule gets real right away. We got Rays this weekend three. Yeah. All-star break. Then we got Yankees and Rays again. So it's now it's not a bad time to hit either of those teams. They're both been struggling lately. But
yeah. Yankees lost a couple to the Reds.
It's real teams that we got to make an impact.
Yeah, but I'm not – no one – like don't even – Josh, Jorge Lopez, people call – are you trading Jorge Lopez? Are you considering trading Jorge Lopez at this point? I think that's a good example, too, of if you're buying or selling.
Yeah, Mountcastle, Mullins. We went over this before. Mountcastle, Mullins, Hayes are Rushman. Untouchables. Rushman. Anyone else? Call me.
Okay. Yeah, knowing the other bullpen arms, I would be okay with a Lopez trade if it's a really good return.
Don't trade Lopez and Batista.
Right.
You want to trade one, not two.
Yeah. And give me a good return. Don't trade him just to trade him.
Yeah. None of this.
In the past, could trade to trade. No, trade because, this is a really good deal.
Yeah, no Cody Sedlak deal. Cody Sedlak for cash? All right, whatever. Right. We're all frustrated that Cody Sedlak's not up here yet.
Yeah.
It's fine. Get rid of him.
Yeah. All right, we're on the same page with this, Josh. The Cody Sedlak trade for cash, is there anything else you want to say about that? It sounds like, to me, this is an issue where there was no room kind of for him on the 40 man. They couldn't protect him. He wasn't getting an opportunity here. They realized it just wasn't going to work. So maybe like, this is good for you. Best of luck. And we'll get some cash out of the deal. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was, or it was negotiating for something else and preliminarily just passing this on. No idea. Doesn't impact me whatsoever. Don't care.
Yeah. I was happy he was able to get a start in Baltimore or able to make an appearance. Which is good for him.
Yeah. So I'm more excited that Kerstad's up with the Ironbirds. I like seeing that he's actually able to play baseball and he didn't hurt himself with the Shorebirds or anything.
Yeah, I think that's a big story this year is that Kerstad has stayed healthy. I think actually a look at prospects. I mean, I know Grayson Rodriguez got hurt, which is kind of devastating, but the fact that Hall has stayed healthy all year, who's had a ton of injury issues, and the fact that Kerstad stayed healthy all year is a big story. Though they haven't played at Aberdeen because of weather and stuff yet. So even though he was caught up on Monday, we're still waiting for
that bad storm. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully tomorrow he'll have his first appearance. But his numbers at DeMarva were silly to good.
I guess there was a big storm, hailstorm up there that took out the right field wall.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so they've had to fix the right field wall in Aberdeen.
I heard it was a lighting issue. Like the lights didn't work tonight to play.
I mean, hey, Cal Ripken and stadium lighting issues seem to go hand in hand.
There you go. Another Ripken conspiracy started. Nah. The rumor part two.
Yeah. Now, did you see that note earlier this week that when Whit Merrifield didn't play a game and he had the longest streak going at 553, which means right now baseball's Iron Man is Matt Olson, who has played in 221 straight games.
Yeah.
Cal Ripken's streak will never be touched. It will never happen again.
Because players are too soft nowadays.
I think it's players too soft. And then it's, yeah, can't, it's analytics and money have ruined innings. Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read, there was a really good article by Jeff Passan in ESPN about the death of the starting pitcher. I thought it was pretty good. Do you see that?
No, I did not see that, but it's interesting. I understand that concept. I understand we don't have those dominating starters.
Yeah.
First, we saw the closers go away, and now we're seeing the starter go away. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and his argument was, this is bad for baseball because, I mean, if you think about the history of baseball, like starting pitchers are kind of the protagonists, right? These big names in a sport that kind of lacks yes. big names. You recognize the starting pitchers were those kind of big names, right? And now we have very few of those big names left. And that's bad for baseball, which I thought was an interesting take.
I don't buy that argument. When was the starting pitchers the big names?
Oh, you go back to not even. I mean, you can go way back to like Bob Gibson, but even more recently, guys like Randy Johnson, guys like Curt Schilling, guys like Pedro Martinez.
But that's my point.
Like Nolan Ryan.
All those guys you're listing, it wasn't just the starting pitchers. At the same time that you had those pitchers as stars, you had the players as stars. The same time that you had those pitchers, you had Cal Ripken, Ken Griffey, Frank Thomas, Rafael Palmeiro. You had big names at the plate as well.
I don't know. I think it's more. I feel like when we were growing up, you could have a big name matchup like this starter versus that starter, right? Like even a Mike Messina versus a Randy Johnson. And today, just look at the Orioles rotation, Josh.
Yeah.
What like big, like Gerrit Cole versus Spencer Watkins? Like doesn't have the
right,
same.
Right, right. No, and you'll see like a Strasburg. Right. But yes. I think it's, yeah. I hear the point. I think it was more, for one, baseball has done a horrible job in the past 15, 20 years of promoting the player.
Oh, that's a given.
The player is not promoted. I think part of that is the cultural shift in baseball, that there's more Dominican, they don't know how to market them properly to Americans, specifically white Americans, as they've marketed other people in the past. I think it's a marketing problem.
But somehow they don't have a trouble marketing Ohtani. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is true. Ohtani, everyone knows.
Yep.
Ohtani, but that might be more of baseball turning into a world game.
And because Ohtani pitches people in games.
They market Ohtani more than they market Mike Trout.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see. You don't see the matchups, but you do see, for instance, when the Angels came to town, one of the games was on Peacock, which right. I don't care. It's the future of TV is all these streaming apps. So if baseball wants to go on a streaming app, I don't care. It was fine.
I love Apple TV Friday games.
The Apple TV. We've talked about the Apple TV Friday games on here, right?
I don't think we're talking about on here. I think we're talking about offline, but yeah.
The Apple TV Friday games, I do not understand. Apple has never broadcast a baseball game. They are the best looking games out there.
Yeah.
I would like Apple TV to broadcast. I hope Apple TV gets the Sunday ticket. I hope they get everything.
Give me the playoffs somehow, on Apple TV. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Their stuff looks amazing. But on Peacock, they marketed that Sunday game, which for one, I don't like a 12 o'clock Sunday game. I don't like the baseball brunch, as they're calling it.
The starter game to head all the other games. Yeah,
I don't care about that crap. They marketed that as Ohtani and Trout. It wasn't Mancini and Trout or Mancini and Ohtani. It was Ohtani and Trout. There was no head-to-head matchup that they were trying to market. It was come see these two amazing players.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something to that storyline. I just think part of it is it's easy to say because in Baltimore, we've struggled so often to say who's the face of this franchise.
Yeah.
Since Adam Jones left. Obviously, it's Trey Mancini. But that question will come up again next year.
But starting pitchers, Josh, how many like notable, memorable, like starting pitchers have there been with the Orioles? I mean,
no.
Sounds like Mike Messina. Maybe people even talk about Eric Bedard or something crazy like that. But there's
no, there hasn't been.
Right. And I think that's a larger issue.
But I don't think that's the death of the starting pitcher. I think it's the shifting of the game and the way, I don't know. You Josh, had great pitchers, but you also had back in the, you're talking, it's easy to look back at that late 90s where it was pitcher versus hitter. And it was like home runs and that steroid era. And the game's different. They market it different now.
Okay. I just think when you look at a guy like D.A. Hall, who can throw close to 100 miles per hour, lefty, nasty stuff, he's never probably thrown 100 pitches in his professional baseball life.
Isn't that, right, not yet. Just, no, yes. You're right.
Never thrown 100 pitches. And so if he comes to Baltimore, he's going to throw four innings, maybe five. And I'm supposed to get like excited about, like, I want to see a guy go out there and throw eight innings.
Right.
Like, even Jordan Lyles on seven gets me pumped up.
No, you're not. Exactly. You're not seeing the complete games anymore.
No, never. When was the last time an oral pitcher? Well, you can go back to
last year, John Means.
But has there been a complete game since John Means? No hitter? I don't even know.
I believe so.
Yeah, but it's just, the fact that it's so rare, I think, says something about just that the state of baseball, it's hard to, I don't know, like you like those big name starters. And when you only go four or five innings, like Tyler Wells, I love him. But, you know, goodness be, the Orioles control him to the point where he can never throw more than five innings. So you never see what this guy looks like going into the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning when the game gets really kind of tense and exciting. I don't know. I kind of get Passan's point. It's an interesting article to read. Check it out.
I get it. Do you know? But,
yeah.
Do you know how many complete games Jim Palmer has pitched?
Oh, my gosh. That's another good example of a guy.
211. 211 complete games.
Yeah. Yeah. More than the Orioles have probably done the 20 years combined, the past 20 years combined. And,
oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, Jim Palmer is a name of a starting pitcher who is a star. Like, there's just not that many star starting pitchers in a league that lacks stars. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that baseball would be helped out by some more stars as pitchers. Like Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is a star. There's just not very many Max Scherzers out there.
No. Right now, we're not giving any chances on trade deadline. Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Right now, chance at the Orioles sign Carlos Correa this offseason.
What is this? This is out of left field. What are you talking about?
I know it's out of left field. But it was something that someone from work asked me yesterday. Hey, does this mean the Orioles will finally sign some big guys during the offseason? And I told him, I said, I guarantee you the Orioles signed Carlos Correa this offseason.
I mean, this is what everyone this is what Buster Olney has been saying too. Like, everyone agrees with this. Now, you might have different opinions, but everyone agrees all eyes will be on the Orioles front office this offseason to see what they do.
To prove this was not bad for baseball. We had a plan.
Right. Because are we the Tampa Bay Rays, where we're never going to spend money? Or are we a team that was rebuilding, and now when the time is right, when our money is actually kind of, can be used efficiently and effectively, are we spending money now? That's the question.
Here's the Brinks trucks we've been hiding in the warehouse just for this opportunity.
Yeah. And I would argue, Josh, financially, it makes sense when you're not paying anybody else, right? Rutschman, Rodriguez, they're all not making any money yet. Now would be the perfect time to sign a guy like Carlos Correa for 30 years. I mean, not for 30 years, $30 million a year or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, now would be the time to do it because you're not paying anybody else.
Right.
And no, you're taking not Correa, hopefully it's somebody else.
Right. No, hopefully the Orioles have been taking the Dave Ramsey approach and been taking their cash every year and sticking it in envelopes in the warehouse, saving up for that Carlos Correa.
Yeah. And I don't think we're at the point where we need to spend a little money on a left fielder, some money on a shortstop, some money on a pitcher, some money on a reliever.
Nope.
Like, no, we can spend it on two guys.
Bring me one pitcher and Carlos Correa.
That's all I want. Carlos Correa and a pitcher. Starting pitcher.
And then I'm good.
Yep. Yeah, and then like you're done. Like, I'm not gonna lie. So just do that day one of the offseason, send Correa. Well, actually, I want three things if I'm getting greedy. Correa, extend Mancini, sign a starting pitcher. And then take the rest off season, and then go on vacation. Go to Bahamas.
Back up. If extending Trey Mancini is a real option. You do it during All-Star break. If it's something that Trey is really interested in, you do it now. You do it during the All-Star break.
Yeah, I would totally pursue that. Yeah.
Because then you build on this amazing play to say, hey, Birdland, this guy's staying here next year too. So don't worry, don't panic if I trade Odor, if I trade Lopez. Mancini's here for next year. He believes in what's going on.
Yeah, we talked about the signal it would take if we trade Mancini, that signal that would send to the locker room.
The extension would do even more.
The extension would send a different kind of signal. Yeah. Right. No, I agree. I would be all over it.
So I would do that now if you want Mancini to stay. And I would do those other two moves this offseason.
Now, that would require a sit-down with Mancini, which I hope they had, to say, hey, listen, are you interested in? We're not doing, you know, a six-year deal with you, Mancini. This is a, you know, a 2 or 3 year extension.
Right.
Are you interested? And but if I'm the Orioles, I'm like, I'll open up the paycheck, the checkbook. I'll pay you whatever you want for 2 or 3 years.
It's not I'm not looking for a home run. I'm not looking for a hometown discount.
Yeah.
I've saved money.
What do you want? It's a 2 or 3 year deal. It's a short contract.
You're the face.
What do you want? And then just
we'll give you this money and your face up on that billboard next to the stadium. You're the face of this team.
Yeah.
Your face is going on the warehouse.
And then
next year.
Yeah. For the next 2 or 3 years. And then we'll, you know, whitewash you and put, you know, Adley Rutschman there.
Right. We're not giving you Chris Davis money, but we'll pay you appropriately.
Not a long-term deal. A short-term, you know, better than market deal. Let's go.
Yeah. You're going to have to accept the wall, though. The wall will be there.
The wall's not going away. Yeah. So. Yeah. But no, I would put the odds of signing Carlos Correa, I would put it at like 20%. You know, I think we have just as good a shot as anybody else.
I think we have a really good shot. I'm counting on it.
All right.
So
count on it. Josh, just other quick Orioles news before we wrap up and get out of here. Jorge Lopez announced as the lone Orioles All-Star. Good for Lopez, right?
Good for Lopez. Good for the Orioles.
You think Austin Hayes or anyone else got kind of snubbed here?
Slight. I think the fact that Austin Hayes cooled off the past couple weeks did not help his case.
Yeah.
And I think Austin Hayes has the chance next year. I think next year we could have the goal for Austin Hayes this year is to be healthy. And for the most part, he's done that. So he could really build on this season next year and be an All-Star next year. I don't call it a snub. This team's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, and we all agree that the All-Star game is kind of a popular contest. It's dumb how they do voting. But no one knew about the Orioles. Everyone still thinks the Orioles stunk until this past week, right? Like, no one realized the Orioles were good until this past week. And so this is how often it works where, okay, then everyone knows the Orioles are good now again, or at least not the laughingstock of baseball. So next year, you're likely to get more votes than you are this year. And so, yeah. And the only other snub, or the only disappointment, if I remember correctly, Josh, Trey Mancini finished second in the Home Run Derby. And I feel like the guy who got second, like, invite the top two guys back. Yeah, I know Pete Alonso's back, which is great. I think they should. He's a good villain to boo against. But, you know, also get Trey Mancini in the Home Run Derby. I would have liked to take away Kyle Schwarber. I don't know why he has to be on there. I think the Home Run Derby list is pretty good. I love the Home Run Derby, but I would like to see Trey Mancini in there. But
yeah, I think it comes down to marketing, where they just don't see the Baltimore as a huge market.
Right, and now you don't have the good story like you had last year.
Right, the storyline got you in it last year.
Yeah.
And the truth is, right now, if you're putting an Oriole in there, Trey's not the Oriole I'd pick.
Oh, sure. He's not. He's like, what, fourth in home runs on our team? Yeah.
Right. I'd like to see Mountcastle.
Yeah, he leads the team in home. Well, actually, Santander leads the team in home runs now. But yeah, I think our best power hitter, everyone agrees, is Ryan Mountcastle.
We trade in Santander?
We
didn't even talk about that. That would be the other option.
Well, I thought just... I don't want to go down the street all day, but I thought, you know what? And I said before, his anti-vax status is going to hurt him. But then
Did
I heard
you see
like
the Royals
biggest,
today.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The biggest trade piece in the deadline, people are saying, but it's Andrew Benintendi. Andrew Benintendi is also, along with kind of a anti-vax quarter of the Royals team, is not vaxxed.
10 Royals. 10 yeah. Royals are not going to the Blue Jays.
Out of 26.
Not going to Toronto. That's crazy.
Yeah, and we were mad about two. So with that said, I'd be curious to see how much it hurts the stock. Also, he's batting .243, OBP at .329. I think Santander is really good. I just don't know if he's good enough to get a good return. And I think Oriole fans are going to be disappointed with the return that they get if he gets traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, or anyone. That's true. But especially Santander, because I think Oriole fans think he's better than he really is. Plays an average outfield. I think he's kind of an average player. So I think it depends who else is out there, though. If there's no one else out there and you're really an outfielder, I guess Santander could be traded. I would expect to be a National League team because the whole Toronto thing. But I would put it at 40% he's traded.
Yeah. I think that's our most likely trade.
Yeah, I think.
Besides a bullpen arm.
Yeah, and a bullpen arm. I think you could see at least one bullpen arm go.
Yeah. Before the Royals went to Toronto, there were 27 total baseball players to opt out of going to Canada this year.
Right.
The Royals had 10.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's pretty funny.
But this is, and all the baseball's talking about it, Josh. This is just a huge kind of spotlight on the Orioles, what they're going to do, what will Michael Elias do. I think it's kind of fascinating. And I think it's going to be curious to see what happens in the next 2 weeks because the trade deadline is not tomorrow.
That's so much fun.
No. If they lose 10 games in a row, the conversation changes completely, right? And so it's going to be curious to see how the Orioles continue to play and what a Michael Elias does here. I'm fascinated to see.
Yeah, well, it's 2.5 weeks. And what is it? There's probably 9 games until the trade deadline.
Yeah, because you have the All-Star break in there too. So yeah, probably about 9 games. You can count them out if you want.
14 games.
Okay.
Till the trade deadline.
Yeah.
9 of them, I believe, are Toronto or New York or Tampa.
Right. Which, yeah, could, obviously will have a big impact on where you stand in the division. Yeah.
But either way, it's fun time to be an Oriole fan. Really. I like that this 10 game is kind of bringing people, local people and Birdland people that have stepped out for 5 years back into the fold just in time to understand this isn't the year, but a chance to get in and start to say, oh, wait, we've got these young guys that are coming up too. There's going to be some really good excitement for next season.
Yeah. I mean, I think a good example of this is Tony Kornheiser of the podcast. A week ago, I was listening to it and he kind of made some joke about how the Nationals and the Orioles are two of the worst teams in baseball. And then this week, he's talking about how good they're playing. And so I think for a lot of just average fans, they thought, the Orioles still suck.
Right.
They just assumed the Orioles still suck. And now all of a sudden, everyone's starting to realize, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they don't suck as much as we thought.
Right. We've been the laughing stock. And then this season started with everyone saying the Orioles are a perfect example of what's wrong with baseball.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like, wait, what?
And then if you're paying any attention, you said, oh, John Means got hurt. Oh, we got this awesome prospect, Grayson Rodriguez. Oh, he got hurt. Yeah. Like, oh, the Orioles season's over. The Orioles season's, the Orioles are cursed. This is it. And then you wake up one day and they won 10 in a row. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. It's fun. And so, yeah, I think more and more people hopping on the bandwagon. They're all welcome. All welcome. Specifically Nats fans. Not good to be a Nats fan right now. Welcome to the Orioles bandwagon. Come to the Oriole game. Spend your money. Buy your beer. Put that money into Carlos Correa. Josh, I think we could sign Carlos Correa just based on the sales of the cheap home run chain they're selling in the team store. Based on the sales from the home run chain, I think they could sign $40
home run chain?
Carlos Correa, yeah.
Yeah.
Just take all that money and put it into Carlos Correa.
I got two of those in my house.
Yeah. How much do you think they cost to make in China? What's the profit margin?
I'll tell you what,
those?
They're pretty heavy. I put mine on because I was going to wear it for the podcast tonight. Yeah. And I got tired of wearing it just while setting up the podcast.
Okay. Well, that's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand why the Orioles take it off after a few minutes of wearing it.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the Angels cowboy hat?
No, I like the home run chain over the cowboy hat.
Isn't the home run chain way cooler than that cowboy hat they're passing around?
Yeah, the cowboy hat is just goofy.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm all for the home run chain.
Yeah. All right, you ready to get out of here? Any closing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Closing thoughts.
Yeah, this is a long episode. Yeah, enjoy this. And I'll be going and asking Kelly about going to Tampa tomorrow or Friday.
You want to talk about you sent me a new shirt, Josh. You want to talk about your new shirts?
If you go over to section336.com, you can click on shop, and we have a bunch of new shirts up there now. We have two different Why Not shirts, kind of hopping on, bringing back the 89 Why Not. So we got two shirts on there, and we've got two or three Welcome to Birdland shirts. We've got our own version of the Home Run Chain t-shirt. So past couple weeks, I was working on some new designs anyway, and the Orioles happened to get hot at the same time. So a lot of cool new shirts over there. Of course, we've got the 2023 World Champions shirt up there.
Still very much in play right now.
Very much in play. I definitely noticed a couple people picked them up this week. So everyone's
wearing mine off to now with the streak.
Yeah, now's the time to get on board and go grab those. So Section 336, click on shop or click on support, and you can be like Sam, who signed up to join us on Patreon and support us there for $3.36 a month. I don't think you can get anything. Check out all your subscriptions. There's nothing that charges you only $3 a month.
There you go.
Section 336 charges you nothing, but you can help us out for just a couple bucks a month on there. Finally, you can help out the show by heading on over to iTunes and leaving a podcast review. Have we mentioned the podcast review that says Solid Orioles Podcast? Really looking forward to this podcast every week. Good analysis and good banter from two guys that obviously love the O's. Not sure if we mentioned that. It came in a couple weeks ago. So
If we did, there it is again.
Yep. Either way, if we have already read that, go on over and give us a new review so we have something to read next week. Matt, you and I are going to be in person next week.
Yep. That's the plan.
Perfect time. We get to watch the All-Star game, Home Run Derby together, do some more podcasting. And next week, I think it's going to be a great time, whether we release it or not next week, to talk about being an Orioles fan out of town. So you're now an Orioles fan out of town. I've been an Orioles fan out of town. I definitely got some FOMO, as you do as well right now.
Yeah, I've only been an Orioles fan out of town for a week now, and I'm kind of hating it right now. But, Josh, I remember in past vacations, we've also had the opportunity, when we're in person on vacation, to break some trades. I wonder if we could be also breaking a trade, give an immediate trade analysis if it happens while we're on vacation together.
Yeah, definitely subscribe to 336, share, make sure you're liking our YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all those pages, because if we decide to hop on live, do any last minute stuff. Oh, and I didn't even mention the Zany one's back next week.
Is that confirmed?
He will be getting on the mic some with us.
All right, sweet. I know he was at that crazy Friday game.
I will maybe I'll share the story next week about attending the July 4th game. My only game that I got to attend in Camden Yards this year.
Okay.
And I got a pretty fun story about that maybe I'll share next week. We've got too long of a show tonight.
All right. But in the meantime, you can follow us on social media, all your social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Sroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. Keep on winning. Everybody knows we ain't messing around.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.